meeting Sunday after Pentecost, and we will be following the order of services. It's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and absolution as it's there before you on page 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First reading is from the 7th chapter of Amos, verses 7 to 15. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined with my sword, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land." And Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 85 as printed in your worship bulletin.
"I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land.
Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed give what is good,
and our land will yield its harvest.
Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps."
The second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 3 to 14. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in his heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on all of us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter verses 14 through 29.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claim, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
We confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets,
and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please have a seat. Let's join together in singing the sermon. Let alone a roof over her head. Well, after a quick investigation, the clerk helping her recognized that this policy was very, very valuable. And he was rather confused. See, it was a policy that was made out to her. And so he asked this woman, how does your husband feel about this right now? My husband? He's been gone for 3 years now, she remarked sadly. Well, immediately, as you can imagine, the insurance clerk started to shift gears and went into action. See, her husband had in fact died. And what this woman didn't understand was that it was her husband's policy and she was the beneficiary. Well, in the end, the insurance company refunded her the overpaid premiums and the full amount of that plan. What a blessing that was for her that day, especially in her time of need, and how she received in those moments just what she needed at just the right time. And what she received was enough to sustain her and her physical life. Now, I don't share this little story with you to direct your attention to life insurance policies or to give you wise counsel to go talk to Allstate or State Farm. But I share this story with you to get you thinking a little bit. You see, you and me, just like this lady, are beneficiaries. But we're beneficiaries of something far greater. The premium has been paid in full. Not with silver or gold, but with something of far greater value. The love of a father. And the innocent blood of a son. You see, this far outweighs any insurance plan we could ever sign up for. The gifts that are available to us right now, at just the right time. And you can bet that it is enough to sustain us forever, as a matter of fact. Now, before I get too far ahead of myself here, this beneficiary status of ours, well, it isn't something that we've earned or merited. It isn't something that you and I have paid into or something that a relative of ours can pay into for us, even long after we're gone. It isn't gifted to us because, well, we're the most well-behaved. As a matter of fact, when it comes down to it, we're rather undeserving of this status, really. See, it's inside of us, has it that way. It's ours, you know. And it's ours because the Father has adopted us. That's what Paul tells us in the second reading. Check out verse 5 for a second. In love, it says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus. See, that's the only reason. We're declared sons and daughters. The reason that we're listed as beneficiaries is because the Father loves us. We're of great value to Him. And He does whatever it takes. In fact, He gives up His own Son to the cross to secure for us the gifts that He wants for us to have. And because He did, the riches of His grace are lavished on us as Paul so beautifully puts it. We are a people. We are a people listed as the beneficiaries of the richness of His blessings. And we become the inheritors of great things. So I know what you're thinking. You're sitting here, your mind is just churning, you're saying, boy, Pastor, what are these great gifts that we receive? Isn't that what you're thinking right now? Because you're listening so attentively to what I have to say. What are these gifts that you're talking about? What are these the benefits that we receive? You know, the stuff that has us set for life. Well, I'm going to tell you. So what is it? To start with, we have forgiveness and life. Check out verse 7. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. Forgiveness and life. God secures it. Jesus wins it for us. And for us is poured out the richness of God's grace over and over and over and over again through forgiveness. And through that forgiveness, as we receive it, comes restoration, which brings forth life, bursting life, in our relationships with each other and in our relationships with God. You see, in Him, we're united. And that's what God does. That's what God does, you see. He unites. And that's what Paul's talking about in verse 10. Unity to all things in heaven and on earth. God unites. And when God unites, nothing can separate. Nothing can separate us from His love. No hardship. Not even death itself. You see, because He lives, we live. We have life now and forever with Him. We know how it goes. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, you can bet that I'm coming back so that you can be where I am. Now, you want to talk about a life insurance policy. The deal is sealed. Life, now and forever with Him. Because, friends, because there is life forever with Him, that reality, it fills us. It fills us with joy. It fills us with peace. And it fills us with hope. Hope. And that's verse 12. Hope in Christ. Hope in Christ and nothing else. Why? Because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hope in Christ. Hope in our Christ, our God, our help in ages past, and our what? Hope for years to come. Our hope in Christ. Hope in Christ who never ever changes in this ever-changing world. Hope in Christ. The beginning. Hope in Christ, the one who makes all things new. All praise God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. How rich we are. How blessed we are. In Christ Jesus, friends, we have just what we need at just the right time. And that's all the time. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the face of opposition, you call your church to be to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Give us courage, like St. John the Baptist, to continue boldly proclaiming your whole counsel of salvation to all the world. We pray especially today for the Bernfeld, Besch, Best, and Blackwell families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the Church, we commend to you all ministers of your word. Make them zealous and faithful, that through their service your kingdom would grow. Send the Holy Spirit upon all who hear them to turn hearts from the love of sin to the love of you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, in the waters of baptism, you served your you severed your people from any obligation to the old nature. Seal us with your Spirit of promise and bless us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Grant that we may live our lives as people brought back from the dead to the praise of your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come, Master, you are near to all who are sick, to all who are suffering, to all of grief, and all those who are in any kind of pain. Have mercy on those who carry heavy burdens. Especially today we pray for Ermgard. We pray for Kathy and Jen. For all of those who are printed in our worship book and our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. That they may rest in your embrace. Look to you for relief and peace. And wait in hope for the final healing and the resurrection through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lover of mankind, as we prepare to come to this altar today, make us poor sinners ready to receive the body and blood of your Son for the forgiveness of our sins and for a share in his unending life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O good and gracious God, you have provided for us relationships and how we long for companionship with one another. One of the greatest blessings that we have for that companionship comes in the marriage between a man and a woman. So today we give you thanks for the unity that shared between Carrie and Abraham as they were joined in marriage here yesterday. We ask your blessings upon them that their home might be a place of joy and laughter, a place centered in faith and prayer. Lord, we ask your blessings upon Justin and Sarah as they prepare for marriage next weekend. Send your Spirit upon their hearts that they might always find joy in one another, but that they too might make Christ the center, that their lives together might be grounded in his love, a love that is built on compassion and kindness and humility. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Join these, our prayers and praises, with those of your faithful people at every time and every place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great High Priest, until he comes again in great power and glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
And we pray together now in our heart and thoughts.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As we receive God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another.
Thank you.
Lord's true body and blood, strengthening each from this day forward. May hope fill your hearts as you think about the riches of God's grace that are poured out on you lavishly. Pardon his joy and his peace. Amen. Of your sins. please stand for the post communion gathering. good to see you, good to be with you this morning. I hope you've been blessed in worship this morning. But I sat down to write, and I looked at the three different readings that there were. I opted for the epistle today because I thought, quite frankly, I didn't want to talk about the beheading of somebody. So anyway, I hope you were blessed with the word this morning. It's not all that often that I preach on the epistle lessons or the sacrament. I was trying to go to the Gospels, but it was just not this week. So anyway, I do pray that you were blessed. It's always a joy to be with you. Couple quick announcements before you head off. Just kind of a public service announcement. There's two. There's a bulletin announcement for an event that's happening at the Riviera Theater. If you want to know about that, you can talk to Joe, right? That's coming up in the next couple of weeks.
August 1st.
So if we need opportunities, so check that out. The listing is on the bulletin board. If you want more specifics, you can talk to Joe about that. Also, this coming Thursday, in the park here, the Veterans Park right here in the pew, each Thursday, by the way, the village hosts these music nights in the park, if you haven't known about those. But anyway, this coming Thursday, our friends from WSRL will be playing in the park. So if you're looking for something to do Thursday night, I think it starts at 6 o'clock. The schedule's up on the board. But anyway, if you want to... We want to go say hello to our partners in ministry at WSRL. Lou and the Rainbow Roof Family Band will be at Veterans Park this coming Thursday. So again, just kind of mark that in your calendar. This past week, I learned that one of our members, who typically worships on a Saturday evening, Sue Ehrenreich. Anybody you know know Sue? She's been a partner deacon with Jane Marone for a number of years. I learned that Sue's going to be moving. She's leaving us. She's going to Ohio on August 7th. So she, again, has been a deacon for us for the last number of years. So if you feel it in your heart to just send her a little card to wish her well, this is where we have that trouble with the overlap of different services. But anyway, if you feel like giving her a phone call or send her a card just to say farewell and Godspeed, to thank her for her service here at St. John's, I think it's going to be very nice of you to do that. There's some events for family ministry that are coming up. The details are posted up on the bulletin board. The next one is coming up on August 11th. That's a Saturday at 6 o'clock. And that's about the Dr. Bus Murder Mystery Tour. Alright, so if you're interested in that, it's what, $25 per person for the trip, right? Yeah, okay. So anyway, sign up. Get your name up on the bulletin board. I just real quick want to share with you, I got a phone call this past week. I'd like to share with you the different happenings that are happening in my ministry. In this last district convention, which happened in, June, I officially finished my 6 years as circuit counselor. And that was just a position that I held. It would help congregations when they were reading it, if they didn't have pastors or conflicts that were happening in the congregation. So anyway, I did that for 6 years. This past week, Chris Wish, and I'm not going to say I was happy for it to be done, because that would be wrong. But anyway, so Pastor Wisher called me this week, and he says, "Hey," he says, "I got something I want to throw at you." And I said, "Sure, what's that?" And he says, "I'd like you to chair off, to head off our pre-seminarian committee." So basically what that means is I chair this committee that interviews potential seminarians from our district, which I thought is really, really cool because I get to interact with these guys right before they're going to seminary. And then basically what I do is I send a report to the seminary on my findings on that individual and, you know, whatever. Very rarely do you meet anybody from what I understand. But anyway, so I just wanted to share that with you. I'm super excited about this. It's a whole different kind of perspective to ministry, way different than the circuit counselors, these young guys that are just going to be eager to start in South Valley and get to meet give them blessings as they go on their way. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because I was super excited about that this week. So anyway, that's that. Last but not least, I'm out. I am done today. For 3 weeks, I will not be with you over the weekend. I'm off for the next 3 weeks. I feel I need it right now, so I'm just, yeah. So it could come at just the right time. But anyway, next weekend we're going to have Rod Lorenz and Bob Chapman are going to be taking care of you in worship. The following week, it's going to be Rod and Bob as well. And then that first weekend of August, you're going to have Dave Worcester. Dave was pastor at Salem Lutheran Church in Buffalo a number of years ago. So Dave will be with you for that communion week on the first weekend of August. If you have any pastoral emergencies, that stuff is all lined up. All right, so Jeff Mangold is going to be helping me out with emergencies. But I would just suggest that if something comes up, give Rob Lorenz, the chairman of the board of elders, a call, and then we can coordinate the care as it's needed. But Jeff Mangold, Phil Schultz from St. Luke, and for the last week, it'll be Pastor Blackwell. All right, so God willing, nothing comes up for you, but if it does, get in touch with Rob Lorenz, and then we'll make sure that you're directed in the right place so that you're taken care of. Okay? So I will see you. In 3 weeks, I'll be in and out of the office during that time, but for the most part, see ya. So, no, really, have a blessed few weekends, and I do look forward to seeing you when I get back. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thank you.